Well, good afternoon to all of you. It's a beautiful Sabbath day. Hope you're enjoying our 70-degree weather. I certainly enjoy it. I think I'm going to give you the title of my sermonette up front, so you'll know where I'm going for sure. The title of my message is Four Logical Reasons Why Jesus Was Born in the Fall. And I thought about adding, and not in December, but I left that off. You could put a subtitle there if you want. Well, as you probably know, in a few days, the world will be celebrating one of their holidays. And ostensibly, that holiday celebrates the birth of Jesus. But you and I know that it doesn't really, because Jesus was not born in December. So, like I say, today I'm going to give you four simple reasons. Well, I said logical reasons. They're simple and logical. And I think you will see that there's no evidence whatsoever that Jesus was born in the winter. So to begin, I want to say this. The precise time of Jesus' birth is not known, and there's an obvious reason, is because it's carefully hidden in the New Testament. You can study the New Testament till you're half blind, and you'll never figure out exactly when Jesus was born. But we can determine what season he was born. My first point is in Luke 2, verse 8, if you'd like to turn there. And there's a lot of information in Luke 1 through 7, but I'm going to bypass that right now. Luke 2, verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." And this is at the very time that Mary was given birth, at the very time. It says there were shepherds living out in the field. And it's interesting the way Luke wrote that. He said, he didn't say they were out in the field. He said they were living out in the field. And that's exactly what he wanted to get across, that they were living out in the field. So this indicates that this is the normal time for the shepherds to be out with their flocks, which means it should be temperate weather, usually in the summer and the fall. Another thing Luke does, which irritated me a little bit, was he used a word that's used nowhere else in the New Testament for living. And I said, well, I'll check the Septuagint. Surely it's used there. No, it's not used there either. So, you know, when you get in a situation like that, you can't research it very well, because most of our tools are keyed to the Greek of the Bible. So anyway, the lexicons say it means to camp out. And when you camp out, as most of you know, you bring everything you need to live outside, everything you can put into your vehicle to haul. So to camp out means to live there. So that's what Luke was saying. My next point is in Luke 2, 1 through 7, the verses that I bypassed. So let's read those. Luke 2, verse 1 says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee and to the city of, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Verse 5 says, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So she was pregnant at this time. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn child, son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for the inn. I know you've read these before, but I want to reemphasize them. So there's a couple of statements here in this section that virtually demands that this all took place in temperate weather. That is summer or fall. First, the census and taxation. Nearly all historians, and I think I could say all historians, but I'm adding the word nearly, nearly all historians agree that these taxations were done after harvest in an agrarian society when the people had funds. When does a farmer have money? When the harvest is in, that's when he has money. So that's why they waited till after harvest to do this taxation. The purpose of the census was to find out how many people were associated with the property, and that determined how much tax they should pay. And Rome and Judah had sort of a contentious relationship. Rome needed their money, and Judah needed to obey because they knew if they obeyed that Rome would leave them alone and they could practice their religion. So they had an agreement and they worked together. Okay, now let's reread verse 7, Luke 2, 7. And she, that is Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, why would there not be room for them at the inn? One fellow said, well, that's because of the census. No, it was not because of the census. It was because it was feast time. When is harvest? Harvest is Feast of Tabernacles time. And so they were there. They were collecting the taxation after harvest, Feast of Tabernacles time. And so that's obviously the reason there was no room at the inn. So point two is this. Taxation took place after harvest when the Jews could pay the tribute and the roads were dry and passable. The rainy season in Judea began about October. And so if you want to go travel, you should do it before October. And I was curious as to, Rome was known for building roads. I said, why didn't Rome build roads? Well, I found out through my research that Rome did not build roads in Judea till about the second century. So at the time we're speaking of, the roads were dirt. And when it rains on a dirt road, you know what you have. You have a real mess. So that's another reason that it took place at the time it did. Okay, now if you'd like to turn to, we're in Luke 2, but look at Luke 2. No, I guess I want Luke 3. Well, let's see, I'm looks like I have a wrong note here. I have a tough time reading my Bible, so I have to. I want the verse that says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. That's Luke 3, isn't it? Luke 3:23.
Yes, Father.
being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. So this is a very simple point here that, you know, a fifth grader could figure out. If he was 30 years old when he began his ministry, and let me point out that Luke says about 30. Does that mean he was younger than 30 or over than 30? We don't know. Luke used the right word so that you cannot tell. So he was about 30 years of age. So if he started his ministry when he was 30 years of age, that means he was born at the same time, you know, 30 years later at that date. So did he start his ministry in the fall? Well, there's a clue that we can look at. Look at Luke 4, verse 16. This is very early in his ministry. Now, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, that is Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." Notice these words, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And again, all New Testament scholars, if you want to use that terminology, agree. I checked about 10 commentaries, and about six of them all said, this is absolutely Jubilee terminology. And when is the Jubilee? The Jubilee starts and ends on the 50th year in the seventh month, on the 10th day. So that seventh month, the 10th day, that's about September. So this is not proof that he began his ministry in September, but it's an indication that it's likely. So now turn back to Luke 1 and verse 5. We're still working on the number 3. "There was in these days Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah." Now I'm now working on skip a page. Anyway, that was my third point. I didn't explain it. Third point is rather simple. We know for absolute a fact he died on Passover 3.5 years later than he started his ministry. So in other words, if you go from Passover 3.5 years back, if you go back 3 years, you'll come to Passover again, or let's say spring. In other words, if you start spring here, the crucifixion, back 1 year, spring again, back 3 years, spring again, 6 months is fall. So that means he was about 30 in the fall. Okay, that's point number 3. Now, the next point is kind of involved, but I'm going to try to simplify it for you, and we're not going to go into much detail. You can actually go to UCG's website and they will explain this in detail. Luke 1 verse 5, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." In other words, Zachariah and Elizabeth were a man and wife, and Zacharias is the father of John the Baptist. And then drop down to 23, and I'm leaving out a whole lot here for sake of time. I'm just dealing with Zechariah's service in the temple. Verse 23 says, "So it was as soon as the days of service were completed," that is Zechariah's service, that he departed to his own home. Now, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. So what do we have here? We know that the course of Abijah makes Zechariah serving and ending his service about the middle of June. The middle of June, he ends his service. Then he went home, and it says here, if you read between the lines, he impregnated Elizabeth, his wife, John the Baptist's mother. So that means that Elizabeth was impregnated in June. So if we count 9 months from June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So John the Baptist had to be born sometime in March. So now if you look at Luke 1:36, says this is an angel speaking to Mary. "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative," we think they were cousins, "has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." In other words, Jesus was 6 months, he was born 6 months after John the Baptist. We know John the Baptist was born about March, so we count six in there, April, May, June, July, August, September. So that means Jesus was born somewhere close to December. Incidentally, if you look at the Hebrew calendar over lots of years, September is centered on the seventh month, Hebrew month. Sometimes, once in a while, it's never in August that I know of. It's always in September, or sometimes it goes into the first days of October. So, but September is sort of the zero point of the seventh Hebrew month. So those are the 4 points I could quickly summarize. Number one, the shepherds were in the field, so it must have been warm. Number two, the time of the census and no room at the inn shows it was after harvest at feast time. Number three, the start of his ministry was near his birth date when he was 30, so counting backwards, we can come to a fall. And number four, John's birth was 6 months before Jesus. And so we can determine roughly where John was born and roughly where Jesus was born. So these points, I think, are adequate enough to prove that Jesus was not born in the winter.